Okay, welcome everybody to the Marlington Local School District Board of Education meeting, November 21st, 2019. Call a meeting to order at 7 o'clock. We'll start with an invocation from Nia Lambden. Nia?
Naya.
Naya?
Naya.
Naya, I'm sorry.
Please bow your heads. Dear Lord, please bring guidance and help us to make better decisions for the community tonight. Please open our minds and lead us with your voice to just be open to listening to others tonight and make it this meeting better. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Naya. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading of the mission statement, Dr. Scott Mason.
In collaboration with staff, community, parents, and students, the Marlington Local District will develop lifelong learners who understand and apply knowledge and demonstrate excellence in pursuing the highest standard with effective intervention to challenge every student.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Gabriel.
Here.
Mr. Hipley.
Here.
Mrs. Humphries.
Here.
Dr. Mason.
Here.
Mr. Ryan.
Here. Adoption of meeting agenda. Any additions or corrections?
No, sir.
Okay, recommend that the Marlington Local Board of Education adopt the following agenda for the November 21st, 2019 meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Humphries.
Yes.
Dr. Mason.
Yes.
Mrs. Gabriel.
Yes.
Mr. Hipley.
Yes.
Mr. Ryan.
Yes. Public participation?
We have one.
One speaker. Bob Ritchie.
Good evening. My name is Bob Ritchie, and my wife and I are both 1989 graduates of Marlington High School. We have five children. Jordan graduated from high school last year. Robbie's in high school. Jack is in the middle school, and I have Addie and Bella at the elementary school. Last year, when we found out that Marlboro was closing, we had some reservations. See, the girls had just transferred to Marlington the year prior, and we were concerned about them changing schools. Angela and I reminisced about how much we love Marlboro. We talked about how much we love the teachers and love the students and the other parents, and the fact that our daughters were so welcomed into that school. As I watched my girls, as we pulled up to the Lexington Open House, the looks on their faces was not of concern and worry. Their looks were of excitement and anticipation. excuse me. When we walked into the school, we were greeted by the warmest welcome of teachers and students. They all took time to talk to my girls, make them feel comfortable, show them around the school. I could barely keep up with them as they would run through the halls trying to find their friends and teachers that they already knew. It was just a true blessing. As Angela and I walked through the school, we also realized something. All the things that we loved about Marlboro existed here at Lexington as well. There are wonderful teachers and wonderful students and that same welcoming environment that we fell in love with. Over the last few months, there's been a lot of conversation about community and what that means. There's also been a lot of talk around identity. Somehow, community's identity has been attached to an elementary school building. Our school district is the Marlington Local School District. It's not the Marlboro School District. It's not the Lexington School District. It's not the Washington School District. These are all communities that make up Marlington. Some of the folks in our community have tried to point out all the negative aspects about closing Marlboro. These aspects are very personal to them, and their passion is admirable. I think it's time we start to point out the benefits. As parents, we spend a lot of time looking at life through our protective parent lens, right? We see life as this maze that we have to help our children traverse to some end. What we forget in our busy lives is that our kids, they don't care about budgets. They don't care about marriage and mortgages and school buildings. What they care about is spending time with their friends and their pets and their loved ones. When we stop to see things as kids do, we will see that the building does not define a school. A school is a place to learn, a place to feel safe, a place to be with your friends. We need to remember that our kids are on an adventure. Life is a series of experiences that will shape who they will become. If we look at this change as they do, we will see that we've given them the opportunity to possibly make that new best friend or meet that one teacher that will say just the right thing at just the right time that sets them down the path to change the world. At a bare minimum, we've given them the opportunity to start their next adventure. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. That's it. Just the one?
Just the one.
Yep. Okay. Special presentations.
Okay, sure. Well, we had some of us at the table here that went down to the Capitol Conference, Mrs. Gabrick, Mrs. Sutton, and myself. We always take some time to kind of share some of our lessons learned. So, Ms. Gabrick, you want to go first, and we'll work our way down.
I attended several learning sessions at Capitol Conference down in Columbus, and some of those were, if the name of the game is trust, are you winning? And that was about building trust, rebuilding trust, maintaining trust, and that would be on the leadership team of the school consisting of the board and district leaders and modeling the right behavior. I attended a case law update which reviewed several cases and their impact on the schools, building closures and consequences, regulating social media use where that reviewed important policy considerations and recent judicial trends. And then I attended another one which was a school law workshop on professional conduct. And the last one I attended was stop TIFs from being imposed on schools, and that is for tax abatements and incentives. And there is a current bill introduced to try to eliminate those, which has a big negative impact on schools at the current time, particularly, and we're experiencing that here at Marlington. And those were the ones that I attended.
Okay. I was going to just focus on one that I went to, and the same one that you were at, too, is the first one at 9 a.m. It was the one about if the name of the game is trust, are you winning? And it was presented by the folks from OSBA, which is your guys' association, a guy named Cheryl Ryan. And her first phrase was, all the data supports building trust is the primary strategic priority for our school, no matter how big, how small you are. As Ms. Gabrick said, there are three stages, building trust, rebuilding, and maintaining. Under the building trust component, she highlighted that we need to align all of our actions to our strategic plan. And I've said this numerous times about us here at Marlington. Our strategic plan does not sit on the shelf. And I'm very proud of that. You folks as a board, our A-team administrators, we talk and use the components of that strategic plan a lot. Follow words with actions. Mean what you say, say what you mean. Admit our mistakes. Create an understandable message and stay on it. Model right behavior during meetings and outside in our community. Give and demand honesty. Under the rebuilding trust component, she had a great quote that I firmly believe. If you are not willing to learn, be educated, no one can help you. If you are determined to learn, no one's going to stop you. Expect the best from everybody. Believe everyone in the district wants what's best for our students, and everyone has and knows their role. Continue to educate your stakeholders. And in filing under maintaining trust, if you're at that high level where you're working on all cylinders, keep working hard, recognize and acknowledge successes and accomplishments in the district, and continue to ask audiences for opinions, interests, and she talked about surveys, any other types of ways to collect information. So those are some of my takeaways from that session.
All right, very good. Okay, building update, Mr. Evanich.
Good evening, Nick Evanich, middle school principal. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to share some information about great things happening at Marlington Middle School. I'd like to touch on our building report card. I think we're doing some great work, but we're not where we want to be yet. Our gap closing grade was a B. I do want to point out our percentage was 89.9%. 90% is an A. Progress was a B. Every group showed at least a year's growth, but obviously we want more than that, and we need more than that to move up the ladder. Our achievement overall was a C. Our gifted indicator score was 116.918. The cutoff score to make the indicator was 117. So a couple of those we'd like to get just a little more of a tenth of a percent, we'd be there. Overall, our building grade was a B. Next, I'd like to share some things that we're doing beyond the classroom. You heard maybe a month ago from Mrs. DeRamo about Gamers Club. Gamers Club is still going, meeting weekly. But what I wanted to point out, there's 30 to 40 kids there each day. Almost none of those kids would be at an after-school event if it wasn't for Gamers Club. It's their connection to an after-school event. So it's serving a population of kids who just aren't connected in another way outside of school to the school community. So I think it's a really special thing, and I'm excited to have it here at the high school to keep those kids connected after the school day's over. PBIS, Positive Behaviors, Interventions, and Sports Program. At the middle school, every 9 weeks, we recognize 30 students, 10 at each grade level, who are just doing a great job. These are students who have maybe made a big change, or maybe just been working really hard, and you know they got their first B of the year. Or they've just really been very helpful and kind to people, just a way to recognize kids and promote the good things that they're doing. Another part of that is our Duke Strong tickets. Our teachers pass out tickets whenever they see the kids doing something positive, something unique, or just helping a classmate or something. We had 325 tickets turned in. The kids, when they get these tickets, they turn them in at lunchtime. And then at the end of the 9 weeks, we draw one from each grade level. And the winners get a $25 Amazon gift card. And the kids get a kick out of that. They can go purchase something they want. I did learn this, though. Even though we collected 325 tickets, some kids will hold their tickets all to the fourth 9 weeks and then put them all in last. Just they got their own methods and stuff. They'll have stacks of them in the back of their binders and stuff. So whatever works. Our care team just continues to do a great job. Kathy Whitebush is tremendous. She's been a huge asset. And our teachers this year, right now, have 60 kids that they're assigned, 2 to 3 per teacher, just to check in with once a week at least. And the conversation does not have to be about school. Just how they're doing, how's things at home, how's your brothers and sisters. They can ask about how things are going at school. And we've got a little survey the kids do just to kind of get the conversation started. And our intention was that survey, because sometimes, especially the boys don't want to talk, was to give them, you know, a rating scale. 1 to 10, how's your week? 1 to 10, how's things at home? And they can make comments. And so we were excited about that, it was going well. And then the one teacher said, hey, we've got to find a way to check this more often, because the one kid turned theirs in to me, and I saw it and checked it, and everything was good. And I just looked this morning just out of a hunch, and they took it again themselves, and they had some problems, and they had reached out to the teacher. And so I thought, wow, what a neat way. So we've got a notification set up now. Anytime a kid takes that survey, the teacher gets an email right away, and they can go back and check it. So even if the kid's having a great week and midweek something goes wrong, they can kind of privately reach out to that teacher and build some trust with the individual. So it's pretty cool. Life skills, this is a new program. Mr. Beamer, Mrs. Daniel Heather, and Mrs. Bratton have combined computers, health, and physical education into one big program. But they cover phys ed, nutrition, healthy living, computers, technology, including digital citizenship and the safe use of technology. The kids were missing health for a while, and we wanted to get that involved somehow. So now they work together throughout a semester, and they rotate between the teachers. Sometimes they do two things, sometimes they do three different things. Sometimes they do a big group thing with all 50 kids that they have at that period. They worked really hard on it this week, actually today and yesterday. Dr. Ryan Koch, a professor at Mount Union, has brought his capstone students. Students taking the capstone class had to do a project, and their project was the power of social media, including the positive and negatives. So these Mount Union College kids came in all day long, different kids, and presented to all the different classes their studies and their projects. And some of their presentations were really good. You know, some of them were their college kids, some of them struggled a little bit. But the kids loved it because it wasn't Mr. Evanich, it wasn't Mr. Beamer, it wasn't mom or dad. It was somebody that was cool, you know, so it was good. Our library, we're very excited about this. Through our fitness funding fundraiser the last several years, we've been able to accumulate a nice amount of money, and we were able to purchase a lot of furniture that's going to create a flexible learning space for our students and staff in the library. It's set to be delivered in December, next month. So we're hoping that at the beginning of January to have it up and running for the kids. We're really excited about that. Our library office, our librarian is now going to be out in the library in the open because we took her office away. It's going to be a sensory room for our students with sensory needs. We were fortunate enough to get a donation from the Eric Frank Harris Educational Foundation to help fund that, and we're really excited about having that opportunity for our kids. There's one at Lexington currently. There's two in the Alliance District, one in Dover and one in West Branch that this foundation has sponsored, so we're excited about that improvement. The last thing I want to talk about is something we started last year called Enrichment Fridays. What we started doing was having the teachers take turns and present things to their fellow colleagues. So every other Friday we join together at a staff meeting and a different teacher or teachers present. It could be something that they found on an app they're using, a program they're using. If they go to a conference, they always come back wanting to present. And we've had over 20 different staff members present since then, different things. And it's been neat because it's been all sorts of staff members, maybe staff members who you just might not think would get up in front of their colleagues and present, and they've just done a tremendous job with it. It's been great because people have learned things, but also sometimes you hear somebody talk about it, you're like, why are you doing that? And it kind of validates that you're doing something good and you just feel more confident about what you're doing. So I could keep going, but I think we want to move on. So thank you, and next.
Okay, thanks, Nick. Curriculum update.
Yep. So this month's curriculum report will follow the same format that we've talked about. I'd like to talk a little bit about something new that's happening in the district, a community partner, professional development, and educating the whole child. So I'd like to talk about a grant that the Stark County Educational Service Center partnered with the ESC and Kent State wrote a grant for $3 million to help provide training for our teachers to receive credentialing. KSU Stark will serve as the lead and physical agent for the purposes of the grant. Planning is currently underway with the university and additional information will be forthcoming. In addition, the mathematics department and Kent State University received a separate grant for the credentialing of math instructors only. This grant is being funded through the biennium budget, House Bill 166. These grant funds provide teachers with the necessary graduate coursework that ultimately will expand the number of College Credit Plus offerings for our students and students in Stark County. Marlington is hoping to get approval for two teachers, one for a communications course and one for an additional math CCP course. Our community partner highlight this month is Child and Adolescents Behavioral Health. Sorry about that. Our community partner, we are so thankful for Child and Adolescents. CNA provides clinical counseling, crisis intervention, and prevention programming to our students pre-K to 12. We have three on-site clinical counselors in our district daily, rotating between all of our buildings. Prevention programming includes All Stars for our middle schoolers, which promotes positive norms, personal goal setting. This program also encourages the avoidance of risky behaviors, promotion of school involvement, and promotion of positive parental attentions. For our youngest students, Dinah, the dinosaur's social skills and problem solving complement our own school counselors' social emotional lessons. Finally, child and adolescent counselors participate in our care teams. They are a most valuable resource to our students, staff, and families in need, and we are forever thankful for CNA. Professional development. I want to touch on our middle school. This partners with Mr. Evanich's presentation. Our Ohio Middle Level Association State Conference provided our middle school team with a rich and comprehensive experience. Six teachers from the middle school attended this conference in Columbus on November 7th and 8th. These teachers were thankful for the opportunity to hear from two nationally renowned keynote speakers, as well as attend many breakout sessions that spanned a variety of topics, including technology, blended learning, social and emotional learning, and specific classroom strategies and activities. Energized and enriched from the conference, these teachers are back at the middle school, sharing some new ideas with staff and students. Educating the Whole Child, using our title funds to promote parent engagement through interactive games and activities that make learning fun. Amy Wittensholder led the faculty in planning this annual activity held at Lexington. Candyland was the theme for this year's elementary Fall Alen. Over 150 families, over 300 people participated in learning games and activities facilitated by 28 teachers from Washington and Lexington. Volunteers from Character Counts who assisted in the evening. Some of the most liked classroom activities, according to the post survey, were Jelly Spelly. I got to make one of those, it was very fun. A sensory spelling activity, flavorful figures using Dum Dums and Tootsie Rolls to create figurines, candy corn catapults, and rainbow floats. The candy buffet and selfie station were also a big hit that night. And then finally, happy Thanksgiving.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Carol. Business Advisory Council update.
All right, just a quick little update from the Chamber of Commerce meeting at the end of Tuesday. The big discussion was the Canton Chamber's public policy, and they have a nice agenda that they put out and kind of highlighted a few things. And just wanted to speak briefly to that. One of their main policy agenda items is we will educate elected officials and policymakers about the ways in which they can work with the business community to encourage economic development, build a strong, educated workforce, and increase prosperity in our communities. And that whole idea of educating the workforce, I know we take to heart here in Marlton, especially with a lot of our career tech programs. And the one strategic plan goal that kind of summed up their discussion was we must do more to expand the region's talent development capacity to meet the demands of an evolving economy. There's no meeting in December, and then there'll be meeting once again when the new year starts. So that's a quick update on that.
Okay, very good. Staff recognition.
All right. You gonna be able to get a picture for me? All right, we got a couple awards to hand out tonight. This is always a fun part of the evening. We'll get going on that. All right, so it's been about a year now that we've been doing this, and this was an awesome idea by the Board of Education to highlight a lot of the accomplishments that are out there for our staff members. In our local newspaper, who we'll talk about in a minute, has been big helping us with this. But here's our first award winner. So we have Ms. Susan Clark. Come on up here, Ms. Susan. Come up, join me. All right. She is our head cook at Washington Elementary School, and she received the Alliance Review Make the Great Difference Maker Award for November 2019. So we want to congratulate her. So Ms. Susan is responsible for feeding all those kids in Washington. And one of the big things she talked about was, well, there's a lot of kids eating breakfast now. And she's been able to pull all that off over there, so we really appreciate that. Our next award actually comes from the Ohio School Board Association. We are allowed to nominate a person once a year. Basically, that would fall under the media honor rule. So you get a chance to honor some of your local media. It could be newspaper and or radio. This next gal, Ms. Laura Kessel, I'm asking Ms. Laura to come up here and join me from the Alliance Review. I got a chance to meet her about a year ago when she took over in our neck of the woods, and she came out and introduced herself to me and had some really great conversations. This world's a tough world that she's involved in. It really is. And she's made every effort to come out and talk with us and talk about Marlington. And you know me, I'm not bashful, but I talk about Marlington. But she's been a welcome addition to the Alliance Review, and I personally appreciate all the time and effort you spent with me and highlighting all the positive things we do in the district. So this is a well-deserved honor from the Ohio School Board Media Honor Board. So congratulations to Ms. Laura.
Okay, Students of the Month. Start there.
Okay, we have two notes, Students of the Month again. The first one is Anthony Sabatino. Anthony is not here this evening, but still to recognize him. Anthony is the son of Todd and Janet Sabatino. He's involved in many extracurricular activities. He's a football and baseball player, especially the last 4 years. He's involved in Character Counts the last 4 years, Lynn Crew Leader the last 2 years, National Honor Society, and our Interact Club. Anthony plays summer baseball for Ohio Elite. He likes to hang out with his friends in his spare time, and he's going to go to college and play either football or baseball, an undecided major. Tonight, Anthony is at the WHBC All-Star County Football Banquet. He's been recognized as a team MVP, quite an honor, so we're proud of him, so that's why he can't be here tonight. Our second student of the month is Miss Naya Landon. Naya, come on up. Naya is the daughter of Angela and Mike Edwards. Hold your breath on this one. She is involved in Yearbook for 3 years as the editor, our SAD Club for 4 years as the president, National Honor Society for the last 2 years, the French Honor Society, French Club, our Interact Club, Newspaper for 2 years as the editor, Character Counts for 2 years, Link Crew Leader for 2 years, Humane Society Volunteer, St. Baldrick's Volunteer, and has played basketball for the last 6 years. She's quite busy. Naya plans to go to school for journalism. She enjoys teaching young kids basketball. She likes walking the dogs with the Humane Society. She enjoys spending time reading or hanging out with her friends and family. She focuses her interests around helping others and keeping a positive attitude towards everything in life. And if you know Naya, you know that is of the utmost truth. She always has a smile on her face and brings a ray of sunshine to everybody's day. Thanks, Naya. Congratulations.
I look around, I don't think our two students of the middle school are with us this evening. I'll read a little bit about them. My colleagues inform me that I've overdone my time limit of speaking tonight, so I have to keep it short. I apologize. Eighth grader, Emily Gaynor is one of our students of the month. Emily is the daughter of Chad and Ricky Gaynor. Her favorite class is French 1 with Mrs. McAllister. She's a member of our 8th grade choir, and she loves playing volleyball. She plays both for the Lady Dukes and for the Elite Sports Ohio Junior Olympic Volleyball Team. There's a lot of time she enjoys reading. Emily's teachers wrote several things about her, but just a really sweet girl with a great smile who gives a great effort day in and day out. 8th grader Carter DeFlor was our other student of the month. Carter is the son of Karen and Kevin DeFlor. His favorite classes are math and choir. He's a member of both the 8th grade choir and the chamber ensemble. Carter is a key member of our middle school public relations team, and when he isn't involved with one of these things, you can find him playing football or basketball for the Dukes or playing baseball for the Stark County Steam. Every one of Carter's teachers that wrote about him used one word. Each and every one of them did use the same word, and that was kind. And that's really neat, and that really explains Carter. If you could explain him one, you're a very kind young man. Those were our two students of the month at the middle school. Thank you.
Good evening. A couple times a year, the elementary principals are not able to attend because of other commitments, so I have the honor of awarding their students of the month, but I don't know that we're here. Is Chelsea Miller, is she here? I didn't see her. Okay, and then Natalie Johnson. Okay, well, I'll just say, she is here. All right, come on, Natalie. We'll talk about you since you're here. Natalie is a fifth grade student at Washington Elementary. She's the daughter of Brenda and Dale Johnson. She's an outstanding student in and out of the classroom. She works very hard to follow Duke Pride expectations and models appropriate behaviors for her peers. Her teachers tell us that she goes above and beyond to help all the students in her classroom. Science is her favorite subject. She has a dog, two cats, a guinea pig, and a brother. She is a cheerleader, and she wants to be a physical therapist when she grows up. Congratulations. A little bit about Chelsea Miller. She's a fifth grade student at Lexington Elementary, and she is a leader at Lexington. She's focused, motivated, and does well, and works incredibly hard on all of her schoolwork. She also cares about other students, offering to help in any way that she can. Her teachers and classmates have noticed this quality along with her positive attitude. She was elected as a student council representative by her peers. Thank you for helping to make classroom a positive place and work hard. Congratulations, Chelsea.
Okay, any old business? Oh, if you folks want to leave the meeting now, we're getting into the business portion of the meeting. You're more than welcome to stay, but if you need to exit, this would be a good time. We'll take a few minutes so you can get up and go. Okay, we'll move on with the treasurer's agenda. This is Tamara Hurst.
Okay, item A, we recommend the motion to approve the minutes of the meetings of the regular meeting October 17th and the special meeting October 29th.
So move.
Second.
Any discussion?
I can't vote on the special meeting.
Okay.
So can we break that?
We can. So we'll do the regular meeting October 17th.
Yes.
Okay. Mrs. Humphries?
Yes.
Dr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Gainbrake?
Yes.
Mr. Hipling?
Yes.
Mr. Ryan?
Yes.
And the special meeting, October 29th. We have a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on the special meeting? Call roll.
Mrs. Humphries?
Yes.
Dr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Gainbrake?
Yes.
Mr. Hipling?
Abstain.
And Mr. Ryan?
Yes.
Okay, we need a motion to approve the financial reports and overview of receipts and expenditures for the period ending September 30th, 2019 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll.
Mrs. Humphries?
Yes.
Dr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Gainbrake?
Yes.
Mr. Hipling?
Yes.
Mr. Ryan?
Yes.
Recommend the motion to approve the donations as presented.
I so move.
Second.
That's Scott on it.
Got it.
Okay. Any discussion? I'm going to read those.
Sure. We have donation in the amount of $44,975 from Dries Code Software LLC. That's for 25 licenses of Design Foil Engineer version software to the high school engineering program. Also to Burlington Middle School, $6,500 from the Eric Frank Harris Educational Foundation, which I think you've heard some description of earlier. And from the Stark County Sheriff's Office Wives Committee, $1,000 to be used for supplies.
Any more discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Gainbrake?
Yes.
Dr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Hipling?
Yes.
Mrs. Humphries?
Yes.
Mr. Ryan?
Yes.
We also need a motion to approve the 2020 revenue budget revisions as presented.
I so move.
Second.
Discussion?
Would you mind just going over those briefly?
Sure. As you know, we set back in May, we set some budget revisions, and they were also amended in June, but now that we have more accurate data as to what our revenue is going to be by fund, we need to amend those budget, the revenue revisions, in order to not exceed what we can spend via the amended certificate that we have to file with the county auditor. So it's an exercise that we need to go through, so we'll be in compliance.
Any more discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Gainbrake?
Yes.
Mr. Hibble.
Yes.
Mrs. Humphrey.
Yes.
Dr. Mason.
Yes.
Mr. Bryan.
Yes.
We also need to approve appropriation revisions. So we did the revenue, now we're going to do the expense side to be in compliance.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All good? Call roll.
Mrs. Humphries.
Yes.
Dr. Mason.
Yes.
Mrs. Goodrich.
Yes.
Mr. Hibble.
Yes.
Mr. Bryan.
Yes.
We also have two activity purpose budget clock. Excuse me, I'm having trouble reading tonight for some reason. Activity purpose clause budget statements for the 1920 school year. And those are for the Gamers Club, for the high school, and the iCare Student Fund.
I so move. Second.
Discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Gabriel.
Yes.
Mrs. Humphries.
Yes.
Mr. Hibble.
Yes.
Dr. Mason.
Yes.
Mr. Ryan.
Yes.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is the five-year forecast. Finance Committee.
I'll just briefly say that Mr. Ryan and I met as a finance committee meeting with Mrs. Hurst and Mr. Ryan and Mrs. Sutton, and she will do a much better job presenting the five-year forecast than we will.
Do you want to do the motion first and then have me present?
Sure. Okay. Recommend the motion to approve the five-year forecast as presented.
Yes, Chairman. Second.
Okay, discussion.
Okay, so as we look at the five-year forecast, there's some very interesting things that are happening this year that have not happened in Marlington before. And so I'd like to highlight just a few of those items. I think you all have a copy of the forecast. If you look at line 1.02, which is our revenues, and we're going to concentrate on fiscal year 2020, our current year. The line 1.02 reflects what we're estimating the Nexus funding to be for this year. We collect one half of the proceeds of that based on the fact that it's collected on a calendar year and we operate on a fiscal year. If you look at line 1.035, we have this biennium budget, the state has suspended the funding formula. So we are to be funded at the same level as fiscal year 19. That for both 19, for both 20 and 21, we have a 2-year biennium. So in lieu of an increase in state funding, we were granted $1.2 million in student success and wellness funds. Those are not reflected in this five-year forecast. Those are restricted dollars that need to be spent for, there's some categories that you can spend those dollars in. We are going to reallocate expenses from the forecast to that fund in the amount of about $460,000 this year. So that, as we go down and we discuss the expenditure column, there will be dollars removed from the forecast from this general fund document to go to that fund for this year and for fiscal year 21. And then those dollars were put back in fiscal year 22, because we don't know if after this biennium budget, if those dollars will be granted again. So that puts a little bit of a skewed perspective on our expenditures, because we had to remove those that were reallocating. And we want to do that because when we added the programs that are allowable under these dollars, under the restricted categories, we added those without any additional revenue. They're programs that we really needed. If you look at line 1.06, other revenues, That includes the one-time payment for the Terry's Tylertown settlement. So that's why that category, that line item is so much more in 20 than it was in 19 and what it will be going forward, what we have projected to go forward. So we've got some really unique things happening in this fiscal year that are unique to this fiscal year. As we look at expenditures, 3.01 is personal services. Again, that is reflects the increases that were granted to the staff, that reflects step increases, that reflects the reduction for the wellness money. It also reflects reductions in staff for the redesign of the elementary schools. And it also includes a one-time lump sum pending board approval that later this evening. Mm-hmm. As you look at retirement and insurance benefits, line 3.02, again, we know what our increase in healthcare is this year, and we also know how many premium holidays we're going to have. So that number reflects that. It also reflects reductions, again, for the wellness money and reductions in staff. Purchase services, line 3.03, again, reductions for the wellness money and reductions, just reductions for the wellness money. And 3.05, capital outlay, if you look at that line, going forward in 21, 22, 23, and 24, there are dollars in those years for student technology replacement and purchase. Line 5.02, if you recall, the board back in July of 18 created the 070 Capital Projects Fund. So that reflects the Nexus dollars being transferred to the Capital Projects Fund. So it's a receipt on line 1.02 and a transfer out on line 5.01. So those are basically the highlights of the forecast.
I have a question. 1.035, that is the state's portion of the funding that we receive, is that correct? How come we don't see a bigger reduction, knowing that the district is becoming wealthier than what we are seeing? I mean, it's flat. I know you said the state for 2 years indicated that it would remain flat, but we know that as a district becomes wealthier, we're going to lose state funding.
We anticipate that, but we don't have any idea what that's going to look like, nor do we know what the next biennium funding formula is going to be. Okay. So at this point, this is a forecast, so we're just projecting it flat.
Okay.
But yes, we have to keep that in mind going forward to monitor that.
Can you expand on the Nexus pipeline 1.020? That mm-hmm. money, we know the auditor indicated last month that mm-hmm. close to 1.8 million will come to the district after January. So we in finance committee, you mentioned that that stream of revenue is pretty much gonna, it's pretty accurate. It's not gonna, I mean, in our estimation, it's gonna be pretty close to what these numbers are, correct? Based on what we know from other pipeline revenue in other parts of the state.
Right, those dollars have a 3% reduction.
Okay.
And we were advised by some folks who know more than I do about this, that's probably a good number. However, we've also know that other pipelines that have been in existence for a year, they have not decreased. So we're always conservative.
Right.
So we're gonna err on the side of being conservative, knowing that they may be flat, you know, going forward, or may increase. They'll make enhancements to the pipeline, maybe that will counteract the depreciation. So it's anybody's guess.
And when I know we've had folks here in the past, I think at the beginning of the year, mm-hmm. we had these advisors in that talked about the revenue stream could, it's projected a 30-year,
right.
A 30-year revenue stream. So at some point, it's going to tail off and then plateau.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk to these folks more than we do. What, any more that you can share on what that could look like? Is it going to plateau significantly at some point or tail off significantly?
You want to take that one?
Well, yeah, I mean, the folks we talk to, you know, I mean, it's just like Tammy said, 3% decrease 30 years, and then when you get to that point, it's supposed to just, that's the number. So if you're projecting with a crystal ball today, that's what we're being advised to do.
I think it goes down to a minimum of 15%.
Yes.
Is where it ends.
On the back end of that.
Is what they're telling us.
15% decrease or 15%?
It'll pay out at 15%
right.
Lifetime.
Right.
Got it.
Those folks that you're talking to, did they see any reduction in their state funding?
The districts?
Yeah.
Yes.
Significant?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's coming. It's just,
and it's
when,
a, what,
how
three,
much?
3-year cycle?
Two-year cycle. Is there a look back where they can say we were wealthier than we were projected?
Yes, there has been a three-year phase-in, that's probably what you're talking about. There has been a 3-year phase-in in the past of valuations.
Okay.
Again.
No, I'm trying to paint you in a corner.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully,
right.
You know, there'll be some recognition of the fact that this is significant for a number of districts. So hopefully that, you know, that will come into play. But
I just need to say publicly that Tammy's done an amazing job helping us here at Marlington with the other 15 jobs that she's doing. I have never seen a 5-year forecast with these many variables in it since I've been in administration. And they're good. I mean, these are all good things, but boy, are they complicated. And you know, I've been talking to Tammy more than my wife for the last month, not going to lie to you, as far as trying to get through this. But she's done an amazing job, and I know you guys know that on the committee. But just for the rest of the board as well. This is a huge undertaking to get us to this point. So
there's a lot of moving parts that normally don't happen here.
Right.
But as
right.
Mr. Mole said, it's all good.
Yep.
It's good stuff. So
okay. Any more discussion? Okay. Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Gabriel.
Yes.
Mrs. Humphries.
Yes.
Mr. Hipley.
Yes.
Dr. Mason.
Yes.
Mr. Ryan.
Yes. Okay, new business. Oh, for you.
Okay.
All right, we'll start with new business, buildings and ground.
Well, we had a meeting last week. I don't know if you guys wanted to share a few things today.
Yeah. We went through a list of all the things that have taken place within, was the time frame just this past year?
Yeah, and the middle school roof kind of goes back a little bit longer than that.
So kind of bringing the roof in, it was a $1.5 million project. He listed all the things, the pavilion over at the middle school, the roof had to be redone, and that was $5,000. Curbs repainted and repaired, $4,000. The gym was painted, $4,300. Gym backboards were replaced, $13,000. The air conditioning and windows here in the high school, $1.4 million, that's just phase one. The ADA compliant bathroom here in the high school, $27,000. The canopy taken down out front that we were told to take down, $21,000. The scoreboards this is the high school, right?
Yes, yeah, high school.
Were $37,000, $23,000 of that was donated. A drain, that's out front.
Yep.
Out front of the high school, $5,000. And then at Lexington, the playground fence was put in, $6,000. The parking lot was repaved, $15,800, and security cameras throughout the district, $5,000. So you total that all up, that's a little over $3 million, which is incredible that we were able to do that within about the last year in improvements for the district. Just awesome job.
All right. Mr. Plan?
No, sir.
Well, I just want to chat a little bit about my conversation about moving forward with the Marlboro building. And I know we had talked about this months ago as far as, you know, a game plan moving forward. So at the meeting last week, I discussed our vision and what we would like to do is turn into a career tech adult education facility. And the first program we'd like to take a look at is HVAC. And just some background, I think I shared this in my update with you, just a little bit of background. A couple of years ago, I was chatting with some colleagues on the AAD, which is the Alliance Area Development Board that I'm a member of, just about job creation and what's going on in Stark County and our community. And, you know, basically what is something that we as schools could do to help with that. About that time, in 2017, the Strengthening Stark Report came out. If you haven't read that document, it's a pretty interesting snapshot of Stark County. And it's just in like a little brochure like this that you can pick up. But the big talking points of this document are, in the county, we're getting older, we're getting smaller, and we're getting poorer. And one of the goals that came out of this is we need to look at ways to accelerate economic job growth, focusing on job creation, preparation, and success. And on page 6 of this document, this statement kind of stepped out to me. We're not exaggerating when we say everyone has a role to play in advancing economic growth and increasing access to the opportunity. So that's what really got me thinking about what can we do here. And obviously our world's career tech, and that's what we do really well. And hopefully you remember in our new strategic plan, we actually have a goal in there that talks about that. As far as the goal saying, we're working at ways to increase student parent awareness and participation in career and educational technology initiatives. So Mr. Miller and I did a lot of talking about this. Can we pull this off? What's it look like? I showed you a little schematic from an architect as far as being able to repurpose that area. I've chatted with some local companies who do this for a living. Actually, the company that did the AC up here. And you know the word is we have a workforce need out there for folks with HVAC. So I've been encouraged with that. We talked to some students. Mr. Miller did a nice survey about a year ago as well, talking about what the need is. And I think what really excites me is it's a great hands-on program. It could be a great addition. Another part of it is the adult education piece. I can see we're going to try to maybe have some rooms where we could do that part of the work in the community that we haven't done a lot of yet. I've kind of got a little bit going, but we need to do more. And then if people in this line of work want to come in, use the facility at night, it's open to them. I'm not sure what that would look like, but if they had PD that they wanted to do with their employees, those would be options as well. So I wanted just to throw that out to the board, just kind of get your thoughts on the whole idea. As far as what that might look like down the road, that's what I was asked to do from the Building and Grounds Committee. So I think that wrapped up our meeting at that point.
Could you express or explain a little bit of the interest? I think you had mentioned at the meeting that you had surveyed some
people. Mr. Miller did a student survey a year ago when he and I just kind of started talking about this between Marlington and Alliance. And there was a good number of kids that said, hey, I might be interested in that program. You know, but we always understand that when you do a sign up, sometimes everybody just signs up. So we understand that as well. But it was encouraging to at least see that between Alliance and Marlington. Remember, this would be a career tech program between both schools. Okay. So we were excited about that piece.
Could you do that type of thing again?
A survey?
Update that survey?
Oh, yeah, we would. Yeah, obviously, we would. I mean, if that's the direction the board chooses to go in, we'll recalibrate again, talk to our kids. And, you know, this isn't a program where you need 100 kids, really. You know, you're looking for maybe 12, 15 at grade level to really get the impact that you need.
So we're talking 24 kids?
That would be a great number between juniors and seniors, yeah.
So we would reach back out to Stark County and some of the other colleagues that donated before to help with funding?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, that's where I'd start. I'd start with our local people that have a vested interest in this line of work and on the foundations. That's where I would start and see what kind of interest that they would have financially to assist in the program. I think that'd be a good starting point.
What would be the partnership with Stark State? I mean, what would that look like?
Stark State has a program actually there, and what we would do is we would probably try to steal some of their ideas, take a look at how they, actually I think, did you go with me that day? It's something I went out and saw their facility. It's really, really cool what it looks like. We probably replicate a lot of that, but one of the bigger, the nicer things is some possibility for CCP credit. in that line of work as well. That would be something down the road we'd have to work towards. The instructor would be really key with that whole concept. But once again, just, you know, some other exciting stuff that we could take a look at down the road.
Would there be a way to gauge interest outside the district? Because once the career tech, once this type of program's here, it's can't be duplicated in other districts. So you would try to bring in kids from other.
It can't be duplicated in Alliance.
Oh, just Alliance?
Yeah, because they're our career tech hub.
Oh, gotcha.
So
okay.
Between the two of us, we can't have replicable. But if we build it and kids from Waterloo came down, or kid from Lake came over, or Minerva, I mean, those would, that happens now with our career tech programs. That is an option. It'd be kind of hard to survey those kids.
Right, yeah, because really, that would be complicated.
We get extra state money for career tech. Is that
you correct? Do. Yeah, there's, I believe, five different standards for career tech funding, and based on what the program is, this would be the one actually that gives us the most money coming in per kid.
So could this be a standalone, be self-operating necessarily, other than the initial upstart or kickoff, you wouldn't need general fund money to operate this because you'd have enough career tech interest, state money that would...
Yeah, that's a bold statement. I don't know if there's enough to break even. It would depend on how many kids, what the money looked like, salary of the teacher, those types of things. I haven't projected that out far enough. But I know right now we supplement our career tech programs as needed now.
Right.
So I would assume that would probably still be the case. Yeah. But once again, I think money well spent for career tech programs.
Yeah. And you're talking about just the one section of the building.
Yeah, if you remember from, the footprint is like when you come in the first entrance there and the cafeteria back, the newer addition to the building is what we'd be focused on. First and second floor would be unchanged with this project. And there's some rooms for adding on career tech programming down the road too, as you saw from that schematic. That I don't know what that might look like, but there's still some options for down the road to add some other programming as well.
So what do you need from the board to take the next step?
Well, I don't need really anything right now, to be honest with you. It's just, I told you I had a plan, a vision you guys wanted me to share, so it's just more
could we
letting everybody know.
Redo the survey with the students and reach back out?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That's that would be a great starting point.
Yeah, yeah, we could do that. Yeah.
What was the question?
If we could reissue the survey to the students to see if the interest is there.
We target the kids from Alliance from Arlington, 9th and 10th grade. Absolutely.
I would just like to add that I think we should be mindful of the strong majority of the community that has expressed interest in having us relook at Marlboro as an elementary school. And I believe they would be very much in favor of career tech, but maybe we could be flexible and look at other options for adding career tech at a possible different location. And I don't know how close you are to moving forward or far away, and we're going to be having numerous conversations before we get there. If you could just maybe express your time frame on what you're thinking about moving forward with a career tech program.
I don't really have a time frame, to be honest with you. That's going to be decided by the board when everybody gets on board here in January, to be honest with you, Ms. Gabriel. So, but those are the conversations I like to keep continuing to have. I mean, there's really, I don't think there's an immediate time frame as far as my part of trying to secure funds. I do think it's important to stay as close to I can with this Stark County, you know, concept of strengthening in the workforce. I mean, really the timing's kind of right on that piece of it, and building the workforce and the data that shows there's jobs out there for this. But I mean, there's no immediate urgency, to be honest with you.
Facility-wise, though, we don't have another location or space available that would accommodate that size.
No, I mean, really, the middle school, high school buildings, they're at capacity with the programming we have now. I mean, we redid the high school. That was really the only area that we had was the old wood shop that we, you know, refurbished into the fabrication lab. But
so,
other than that, there's
so if it wasn't Marlboro, we wouldn't need to build a standalone structure or in addition to a building?
Yeah, add on somewhere, do something like that. Yeah, I mean, because if you remember, the lab itself was 5,500 square feet, just the learning lab itself area, and there was a lot more involved. But That could be an option.
Well, I can speak for the K company that I did visit with my son, and their facility is quite large for what they offer. So, I mean, it's a massive area that's required for just the learning and then hands-on classroom.
I'm sure we're probably not quite that big as what you saw out there.
Yeah, that was massive.
I don't think we're going to get close to that space-wise. But. Right. Was there anything else on the committee there?
Mm-hmm.
All
right. Good.
Good. Okay. Good. I'd like to recommend motion to issue bids for phase two of our window replacement here at the high school.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
Could you just review the details of that?
Sure. Phase two here at the high school, we talked about at our meeting, is going to include from the counselor's area going north on this side of the building. It's also going to include our area down by the math rooms, Mr. Locke's room, heading on back towards the tennis courts. And it's also going to include, I believe, five additional doors, the three doors out by the Victory Bell and the two main doors out front.
And the total estimated cost at this point?
We have a budget proposal of about $250,000. And that includes everything I just mentioned. Because remember, last week it did include the two front doors. But I was able to get, just like I said, just an estimate. So it's about $250,000.
Those estimates include blinds in the windows?
Yes. Yeah. I think I got that right this time. Yeah.
Can you help me understand on the two main doors? I think you had said at the meeting that the contractors or professionals said that they didn't need replaced, but were going to anyway. Is there a benefit or cost savings to doing it with the project right now?
Well, once they're out here. So the mobilization and all that piece of it, there is some cost savings by having them already here on site and doing the job. That's true. Yeah, I believe he said they've been here since 2000, and I think he was comparing those doors to the other ones.
Yeah.
And that's not really a great comparison because some of those are in pretty bad shape. But his thought was if you needed to leave them, you could live with it. I think the committee's response was those are our two doors that we use for the main entrance.
Absolutely.
And if we're going to, you know, make anything secure, probably needs to be the two that, you know, are.
My thought anyhow, right. Yeah.
So that's the one who's included in the 250?
It is.
Affirmative. Yeah.
And is this phase two or three?
I think it says phase two, I hope. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The company from Capital, if you remember, about 3 or 4 years ago, did the front of the building. So they counted that as phase one in their computing, but that was 3 or 4 years ago. So phase one and two is what we're involved with right now.
So what's the phase three that we're voting on?
You're not.
It's phase two.
Two.
Yeah, I hope you reckon. I hope it says phase two on your document, Derek.
Mine says three.
On your board agenda?
On my board agenda, yes.
These are all fit from the same screen, right?
High school window project, phase two.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it phase? Is it on? Is it in the computer wrong?
But if it's two, that's wrong.
Oh, you got phase two. Okay. All right. I'm sorry, Ms. Gabriel. I'm not sure where you're getting that from.
I have no idea.
Are you on the final agenda, or are you on the draft?
I'm on the final.
Okay.
But that's fine. So it's number two.
Yep. Any more discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Humphreys?
Yes.
Mr. Hipley?
Yes.
Mrs. Gabriel?
Yes.
Dr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Ryan?
Yes.
Okay, I'd like to recommend motion to approve the project change order number two for the project originally approved at the June 2nd, 2019 special board meeting as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
Could you provide details on that?
We have seven air conditioners in the front of the building. We already have air conditioning on the roof, so we're going to take them seven air conditioners out and replace that with a window glass for all seven of those areas.
And what's the anticipated cost?
I believe it was $4,993. I might need to confirm that.
Sounds right.
I think you have an attachment on, I hope. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
4993? Okay.
Any more discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Hipley?
Yes.
Mrs. Humphreys?
Yes.
Mrs. Gabrick?
Yes.
Dr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Ryan?
Yes.
Okay, letter B. I'd like to recommend a resolution to support the territorial transfers resolution as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
You ready?
Let me say something about this. Okay, this is a big one. It's complicated. All right. This resolution is in support of the lawsuit filed by the Plain Local Schools in regards to the newly enacted territorial transfer law. This law was inserted into House Bill 166, which is the biennium budget, and to be very honest with you, it was put in the dark. The law creates a new process which electors residing in a school district, living in a township split between two or more districts, are able to petition for transfer of territory to an adjacent school district. Now, in the resolution, and myself and our colleagues, our concerns are these. There's already a process for this in the law. It's already there. It's been used many years ago, actually. This new law provides no challenge to the proposed transfer at all for either the transferring or receiving school district. Our concerns are what's going to happen financially to districts, what can happen to student makeup in districts. There's just not a lot of guidelines surrounding this. So Plain Local has already moved forward, as you're well aware. Other colleagues in the county have passed resolutions similar to this, asking for that law to be rescinded.
Any more discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Humphreys.
Yes.
Dr. Mason.
Yes.
Mrs. Gabrick.
Yes.
Mr. Hibley.
Yes.
Mr. Ryan.
Yes.
Okay, I'd like to recommend a motion to approve transportation request as presented in accordance with Ohio Revised Code 3327.01 for the 2019-20 school year. Reimbursement amount to be determined by the state that individual as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Scott. Mm-hmm. Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Humphreys?
Yes.
Dr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Gabrick?
Yes.
Mr. Hibley?
Yes.
Mr. Ryan?
Yes.
All right, so 2020 school calendar public hearing. Ohio Revised Code requires us in 3313.48, I believe, to announce within 30 days of us adopting the school calendar that the board can have some discussion, conversation regarding our calendar. My thoughts are to bring something to your attention in the month of January, to be honest with you. So be open for comments tonight or next month, actually, you know, whichever you prefer. You can give me your thoughts through email or conversation, whatever works for you. Okay? Okay.
We don't have any proposed calendar at this point.
No.
Is that correct?
No. No. Okay. All right.
Sure. Item E, new revised deleted board policies, policy committee report. Mrs. Gabrick and Mr. Ryan are the two board members who sit on that policy. Would either of you like to share or delegate sharing? Okay. We met earlier this evening in the DLZ, our meeting starting at 5:30, ending promptly at 6:08. We had several policies. I will briefly read over the changes. Policy 1310, that is a revised policy, employment of the treasurer. Policy 1340, non-employment of the treasurer, that's also a revision. These revisions reflect the insurance option made available through House Bill 291, which authorizes school districts to use, quote, employee dishonesty and faithful performance of duty, end quote, in lieu of surety bonds, for all officers, employees, and appointees that are required by law to give a bond. Policy 2431, interscholastic athletics. This is a revised policy. The revision of this policy reflects the provisions of the Ohio High School Athletic Association student eligibility bylaw, specifically bylaw 4-4-1, exception 3. Provides that if students' failure to meet academic eligibility requirements is due to an incomplete given in one or more courses which the student was taking during the grading period in question, the student may have his or her eligibility restored by the executive director's office once the incomplete has been changed to a passing letter grade under specific circumstances adequately documented by the district. Policy 5113.02, school choice options. This policy has been revised, deleting the school improvement, quote, end quote, provisions which are no longer part of the Ohio State's plan for ESSA compliance.
However, the persistently dangerous, quote, end quote, and victim of violent crime, quote, end quote, provisions remain in effect. These provisions are also referenced in Policy 8400, School Safety. Policy 5200, Attendance. This is a revision policy. This policy reflects provisions of House Bill 66 under the 132nd General Assembly that require contact of parent or guardian in the absence of a student within the first 120 minutes of the school day, and the change in the definition of excessive absence, quote, end quote, provided in House Bill 166. Policy 5230, late arrival and early dismissal. This is a revision policy. It provides an option for the district to require a photo ID when releasing a student to a non-parent or guardian. Policy 5350, student mental health and suicide prevention. This is a revision policy. The revision to this policy is reflected in the training requirements as modified in House Bill 502 and expands the focus from depression to the broader context of mental health issues. Policy 7300, disposition of real property and personal property. This is a revision to the policy. This policy has been revised to reflect the change in the status of unused school facilities required by House Bill 166. The legislation reduces the amount of time for lack of use of school operations from 2 years to 1 year. The board shall offer such facilities for lease or sale to community schools or other such agencies specified in the law and Policy 7300. Policy 7440.03, Small Unmanned Aircraft Systems. This is a new policy. NEOLA first issued guidance on this on drones, or SUAS, in August. The sample resolution provides districts to allow unmanned aircraft systems on schools' property, but be in compliance with the Federal Aviation Administration and permission granted by the superintendent. Policy 8400, School Safety. This is a reissued policy. This policy and corresponding administrative guidelines are being reissued as part of this round of updates. When revised in January of 2015, the optional language was dealing with threat assessment procedures and considerations. We decided to take this option early on, and now we're adding some additional language. Policy 8403, the School Resource Officer. This revision to the policy adds emphasis to the expectation that the student privacy must be maintained in accordance with both FERPA and state law. Policy 8462, Student Abuse and Neglect. This is a revised policy, and this reflects training requirements as modified by House Bill 502. And then finally, Policy 8500, Food Services. This is a revised policy, and it, as a result of House Bill 166, adds the requirements for school districts and the department regarding school breakfast programs. It also expands the reference from lunch and changes that language to meals.
Recommend the motion to approve the first reading of the board policies as presented.
I so move.
Second.
Any discussion? Call roll.
Mrs. Gabrick.
Yes.
Mrs. Humphreys.
Yes.
Mr. Hipley.
Yes.
Dr. Mason.
Yes.
Mr. Ryan.
Yes.
Okay, under letter F, I'd like to recommend a motion to approve a 2% one-time lump sum payment to all Marlington Local School District contracted employees, including non-represented staff, administrative superintendent, and the treasurer. The lump sum payment will be calculated on the base contract only and will not be indexed.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Sure. This is an attempt to right the wrong for our staff. When they weren't receiving pay raises for 8+ years that they didn't. When I first initially got on board, we had talked that when we received the Terry's Tire Town settlement, that we would look at making our staff whole. And this is just an attempt to do that.
Approximately, what's that going to be?
The dollar amount is $272,000. That will not all come out of the general fund because some of our employees are in other funds like food service. We can use some of the student wellness funds to pay that, as well as some federal funds under this guidance.
And the total Terry's Tire Town settlement was?
$704,000-ish.
Can you explain the structure of this? This doesn't go into the base?
Correct. We've done this before. We've talked about ways to give raises, but basically this is a lump sum payment that will be given to our employees, and it does not go on from year to year to year. So it is not attached to the base. If you can give a 1% to the base, that articulates its way through forever. This is just a one-time lump sum payment.
I know we've discussed that, you know, our teachers are low on the scale and that sort of thing. This won't then move them up on the scale when compared to other school districts, for example, when you're comparing all the districts in Stark County.
No.
This would not move them up on that scale, even though they would be getting this raise. Is that correct? And then, does this, I mean, this is in addition to their current contract. Is there anything that needs done for their contract to be able to accept this, or
no.
How does that work?
No. This needs your approval.
And then what's the pay date on this? Is it going to be like a paid one time, or are you doing it every year?
No, it's going to be a one-time lump sum payment.
And when's the schedule for that?
Well, it's going to be up to the treasurer, but the goal would be before Christmas.
Any more discussion?
I think it's well deserved. I appreciate the staff so much and all that they do and their perseverance and dedication. If you don't really ever see it, you should. So I'm really grateful to be able to do this.
I would concur. I wish we could amend the contract and give it some as a raise myself, but I'll settle for this.
Okay. Call roll, please.
Mr. Hipley.
Yes.
Mrs. Humphreys.
Yes.
Mrs. Gabrick.
Yes.
Dr. Mason.
Yes.
Mr. Ryan.
Yes. Okay. Personnel.
I recommend a motion to approve a one-year unpaid leave of absence for Melissa Lamb, bus driver, cafeteria worker, effective November 2nd, 2019. I recommend a motion to approve the employment of Lori Yost as a substitute payroll clerk, effective March 11, 2019. As needed, a rate of $23.36 an hour. Recommend motion to hire Laura Linford as the cafeteria playground monitor effective November 25, 2019. Pending verification of satisfactory credentials, BSAT and FDXX as required. Recommend motion to hire Jane Volga as an educational assistant effective November 25, 2019. Pending verification of satisfactory credentials, BSAT and FDXX as required. Recommend motion to increase the hours of 1.5 hours per day for Marks Ben L. Cook, effective November 25, 2019. Recommend motion to hire the following individuals to be added to the classified sublist for the 2019-20 school year, pending verification of satisfactory credentials to be set in FBXX as required. Those folks as presented. Recommend motion to adjust the supplemental stipend for Clay Libidor for the middle school boys basketball from the whole stipend to 0.66 stipend for the 19-20 school year. And recommend motion to hire the following for the 2019-20 supplemental employment pending verification of satisfactory credentials, BCI and FBI checks as required. Those folks as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. Call roll, please.
Mrs. Humphreys.
Yes.
Mr. Hipley.
Yes.
Mrs. Gabrick.
Abstain.
Dr. Mason.
Yes.
Mr. Ryan.
Yes. Okay, announcements.
Okay, round two, parent conference is coming up on the 26th. We have a staff PD day coming on the 27th, and no school for students that day. Enjoy your Thanksgiving break. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody out there. Back out on December the 3rd, the Lexington Elementary Music Program. On the 4th, the Middle School Choir Concert. The 5th is Washington's Elementary Program. The 7th is the Big Frosty's Boutique here at the high school. The 12th, Middle School High School Band Concert. And December 17th is the High School Holiday Choir Concert here. And December 23rd through the 1st will be no school for Christmas break.
Very good. Okay, next.
next meeting, I'm sorry.
Next board meeting will be December 19th, 7 o'clock here at Marlington High School at the DLZ. And board is going to enter an executive session, and there may be board action after we adjourn from that, and then the meeting will be adjourned from there. So thank you for coming. I need a motion to enter an executive session in accordance with ORC 121.22 to discuss the appointment, employment, dismissal, and compensation of a public employee, and or to discuss the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee or regulated individual.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Humphreys?
Yes.
Dr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Gaber?
Yes.
Mr. Hibley?
Yes.
Mr. Ryan?
Yes. I have 8:20. Okay, thanks, folks, for coming. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you next month.